We love the next generation here at Bethel Christian Church. One of our values, you might say, is the next generation. Not just kids, but also adults, right? Our next generation. You could be 80-something years old, and right, it's all of the people that are younger than you is that next generation, right? And so we believe in the next generation, and we pour out God's love on the next generation of our church. Today, we set aside time to honor and celebrate one of God's most precious gifts to us in the world, and that is our mothers, right? Our mothers are special to us. And so today we say Happy Mother's Day to all the ladies that are here today on your way out. We have a little goodie for you, a little we love you kind of a treat, and maybe you had a muffin on your way in, right? Muffins for moms or with moms, I don't know what we say, but anyway, muffins and moms, they kind of go together, it seems like, that alliteration. You know, and I think we have donuts for dads in a few months, so anyway, more alliteration. I don't know why we love alliteration, but we do. But mothers are special. Mother's Day is more than just flowers and cards. It's a recognition of a calling to raise, to love, to nurture, to discipline, to teach. It's a calling that God has placed on our lives. A godly mother carries significant weight of shaping the life with great with influence over the next generations. Today, we're going to pause from our series called Uncomfortable, and we're going to talk a little bit about mothers, but not just mothers, because I think this message can apply to every one of us today as we nurture the next generation that God has placed behind us. And so it's a call for every one of us to shape the lives of the next generation. And so it's a challenge that maybe you're here today and you don't have any kids. That's okay. You're called by God to help shape this next generation. Maybe you're a grandparent and you don't see your kids or grandkids very often. Well, guess what? We have a church family here, and there's a lot of people that need, you know, some people to help shape them into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. So we all have a role to play. And so this message is, yes, about mothers, but even beyond that, it's a message for every one of us that we have a job to do to help the next generation become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's a calling God's placed on us as a church family. And here in this church family, that's one of our values. We value the next generation. We value especially our kids' generation, the children of our church, right? We know one of our biggest ministries in the church is our academy, and we celebrate what God's doing. One of those young men, Isaac, is a student in our academy, and we celebrate what God does in our academy on a day-by-day basis, but we also celebrate what God does right now in kids' ministry, in our youth ministry, and every other ministry that we have within our church. So today, here we are, celebrating mothers and celebrating the opportunity we have to serve the next generation. We all have been influenced by a mother or a mother figure in some way. I came across a New York Times article that entitled, America's Mothers Are in Crisis, Is Anyone Listening to Them? Have you ever felt like you were in crisis, mothers? Right? Is anyone listening to them? To support their research, they set up I don't know what this is, but they called it a primal scream line that allowed mothers to call in, a nationwide number to call in and give 1-minute messages and just rant or do whatever they want to do on this phone message system. Hundreds of moms shared their frustration with shouts and cries and screams and even a few expletives. You know, here are some of the examples, not the expletives, but here are a couple examples of what they called in and said. Maybe, moms, you can relate to this. I'm doing my 6th load of laundry today. Any moms been there? How about this? There's just so much talking all the time, all day long, words. So much talking, I just need no more talking, no more words. I need no more talking in my house. I need silence. I remember that. My wife and I with our daughter were like, man, God, when are you going to let her start talking? You know, we just want to hear her talk. And then she started talking, and we said, God, why? Did we pray for her to start talking? She doesn't stop now. Even today, even, you know, we're going to talk to her in a little while, and she just gets together with us and just talks and talks and talks. It's wild. All those words. Another message. Maybe I'm not cut out to be a mother. Maybe you've been there. All I hear all day long is mom, 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 mom. You get the point. This last one. I don't know how to feel sane again. I'm stuck in this position for God knows how much longer. Moms, it's okay to scream because God hears you. My prayer for us today is to remember this truth, that you are not trapped, but you're positioned in a place to fulfill God's purposes on your life and through your life. You're placed in a position of influence right now. So moms, if you're tired here today, moms, if you're a little weary of fighting the battle or whatever it might be that's going on in your household, I just want to remind you, you're positioned right where God wants you and needs you to be to fulfill his purpose. Well, we celebrate Mother's Day joyfully. It can be a difficult time for others. For some, a mother may no longer be present. Others might grapple with the complex feelings of a strained relationship with their mom. If your mom is seriously ill, you may find yourself anxious about how much longer you will have your mom. Additionally, some have endured the grief of losing a child, maybe due to abortion or a miscarriage or an untimely death. Some others here wish they didn't have children. While maybe other women would give anything just to be a parent, many of you are brokenhearted over the choices of a prodigal child and the choices they are making. You know, numerous moms feel overwhelmed by guilt and trapped by shame, maybe even believing that they aren't good enough. Some of you are seeking balance in your roles of foster and stepmoms. Additionally, some of you are flying solo as you work hard to cultivate your child's faith, maybe without a father's involvement. I want you to take a moment and breathe today and reflect on the words again of our good shepherd. Isaiah chapter 40, 11 says this, "He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those who are with young." What a beautiful image that's there, that God will be there to help us, right? That God will, when we're struggling, when we're broken, that God is that great shepherd that holds us close to himself. And so I want to remind you today of the greatness of our God. And no matter what you may have carried in here today, as we celebrate or even as we go through difficult moments on Mother's Day, I want you to know that God is there with you today. You may experience the tender gentleness of a shepherd that guides you to love the little ones entrusted to your care. The Bible suggests that being a good mother involves more than just preparing delicious, crustless peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, right? Motherhood's so much more than that. Motherhood extends beyond just applying that Spider-Man Band-Aid in the right way or, you know, washing hair without getting all the soap in the eyes. That's just a great task, that people have talent for, right? It's more than all these little things. These physical challenges are there, you know, but spiritual responsibilities are outlined in Scripture that we need to partake in as leaders of the next generation in our lives. No matter how old your kids are, you're still leaders in their lives. No matter if you're here as a single person that doesn't have kids, you are a leader to the next generation in our church. And so again, I challenge you today that we are leading and we need to lead well that next generation that God has entrusted to us. Today I'm going to introduce you to Eunice, a young woman who was raised in a devout household, profoundly influenced by her mother Lois. These two ladies, Eunice and Lois, almost sound like they could live down the street here in Parma somewhere, right? She cherished learning biblical stories, you know, during her childhood, Eunice did, and loved attending services to explore her faith. As she entered into her teenage years, she remained spiritually engaged, but became attracted to a young man that had a different interest in religion, maybe even no interest. Despite her mother's wise counsel, the teachings of her faith and her conscience, she chose to marry this guy anyway. After a few years of marriage, Eunice and her husband welcomed a baby. The baby's name is Timothy. During this time, Eunice's father had passed away, and so prompting them to invite the mother Lois to come live with them, little Timmy brought joy to everybody that was around him. His mother and grandmother devoted hours to teaching him God's word, praying with them and praying with him and for him and nurturing his spiritual growth to help him grow into a fully devoted follower of Jesus, and fostering an environment where Tim could thrive. And we have limited information about Timothy's Greek father, but we don't think that he was a follower of Jesus or a believer. We're unsure exactly when Grandma Lois accepted Jesus as her Lord and Savior. We could speculate maybe it was the day of Pentecost itself, right? That she became a follower of Jesus, where 3,000 people were saved and from the surrounding regions. But regardless of when it occurred, she instilled her faith into her daughter Eunice. According to Acts 16:1, Eunice was raised in a Jewish family and Jewish faith and had recently embraced a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Messiah. These new believers had devoted themselves to teaching Timothy about Jesus. And from the book of Acts, we can see that Paul had a special relationship with this young man named Timothy. And along with his mother and his grandmother, he helped Timothy become a follower of Jesus and led him into a saving faith. Later, Paul and Timothy teamed up in ministry and they spread the gospel throughout the region. Years later, we read that Paul writes two letters to his young associate named Timothy. Those letters are called 1st and 2nd Timothy, right? You know, so Paul had a great influence on Timothy's life. And so we're going to look today at 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you have your Bible, you can turn there. Also on YouVersion Bible Notes, if you look on there, you can find events. You can find our church. You can find notes digitally right there on your device as well. But we're going to look into 2 Timothy chapter 1 here for the next couple of minutes and really just evaluate some things about Eunice and Lois and Timothy and some things we might be able to glean from Scripture today as we are all involved in shaping the next generation to be followers of Jesus Christ. I hope you understand that that is part of our mission, right? That's part of your mission. Your mission is not just to come into this church, you know, worship Jesus, get those Holy Spirit goosebumps, and then walk out of this place without talking with anybody. The purpose of a church family is so much deeper that we need to develop a relationship with one another. We need to influence the next generation. We can only do that as we develop a relationship with the next generation. I hope that as we look around this room, you can look around, you can see people of the next generation. You can say, I know their names, right? I have a relationship with them. And I'm helping them grow in their relationship with Christ, because the Great Commission is that we are to go and make disciples, right? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, right? Is what God's Word teaches us that we are to do. So we need to pass down, you know, this love for Jesus that you have to everybody that God's placed in your life. And so those that are behind you, those that are walking behind you, you need to be teaching them God's word. And so I challenge you and ask you, who are you teaching God's word to in your life? That's part of the Great Commission. If we are going to fulfill the mission that God Himself has given to us, then we need to be teaching people God's Word. So who have you taught God's Word to this week? Who have you sat down with and said, let's read James chapter 1 together and let's study it together? Who are you walking alongside and helping them to become a follower of Jesus Christ and a sold out disciple of Jesus Christ? Who is it that you are influencing? How many conversations did you have with somebody about God's word this last week? I challenge us. Every one of us need to be doing that. Again, a church family is not just coming in, I check the box, I go out of here, and I go enjoy my lunch wherever you're going today. Hopefully you're going somewhere good. Right? I heard someone, I talked to Josh where they're going to lunch today, and I can't remember what he said. Some Guatemalan restaurant. I don't think I could even say it the way he said it. It was pretty awesome. But yeah, I who is it that we're influencing with the love of Jesus Christ? That's my question that I have for every one of us today. If we're not influencing people deeper in their relationship with God, then we are not obeying Jesus and fulfilling our mission. I know that's tough to hear, but that's the reality of it. Who is it that we are influencing in their love for Jesus Christ? Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. I'll skip verse 1. We'll go right into verse 2. It says this, "To Timothy, my beloved child," not a biological child, right? This is a child in the faith, right? Someone that he has influenced with the love of Jesus Christ. He says this, "Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." A couple of quick things that we can learn from this passage that, you know, before we get into a couple things we need to pass down. One quick thing I want to note is that genuine followers of Christ make a difference. Genuine followers of Christ make a difference. Here's Paul, right? Paul is feeling weak in prison. He reflects on many friends who had abandoned him in the faith. We won't talk about those today. And then he finds comfort in people's sincere faith like Timothy. He reflects back on it and says, man, this guy's pretty awesome. I can't believe all that God's doing through Timothy's life. And so he celebrates. He finds joy in the midst of his bondage because of what God is doing in the life of Timothy. You can never underestimate the joy that you might share in somebody that loves Jesus as you continue to walk in obedience and integrity before the Lord. That can bring joy into all the people that are around them, right? What a joy it is when we see our kids following after Jesus, right? All the parents would say, amen. What a joy that is. Amen. What an overwhelming joy that does in our hearts and in our lives as men and women of God when we see our kids, our grandkids following after Jesus. It brings to mind 3 John 1:4. It says this, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." And that's so true, right? How much joy would that bring into our hearts to see that next generation walking in the truth? What a joy that would be into our hearts. Prioritize your family is another lesson we can learn quickly from this. Grandma guided her daughter towards grace, and in turn, mom exemplified faith and mentored her son. The core principle is that we need to prioritize our family and our family's relationship with God first. We need to be influencing the next generation as much as we possibly can. And that's, dedicating time, praying with earnest prayers for the next generation in our families. And I hope that you're doing that. I hope you're spending time on your face before God, crying out for the salvation of your kids and grandkids, and that God would hold them close in their walk with Him. And so we need to be doing that as the older generations, right, is praying and interceding for that younger generation. The next thing we can learn is that faith is imparted and embraced. Grandma Lois, Mom Eunice imparted their faith to Tim, who embraced it by witnessing their sincerity. People may not hear our words, but they observe our actions. And so he had sincere faith. Why? Because Mom and Grandma had sincere faith. And so they passed that sincere faith on to that next generation in their lives. Recently, I encountered some eye-opening statistics illustrating evangelical Christianity's decline across successive generations. Here's some percentages. You ready? Of the silent generation, the oldest generation that's probably in the room today, 47% are followers of Jesus Christ or believe that in Jesus and believe that he died on the cross for their sins. The next generation, the boomers, 42% of the boomers, so went from 47 down to 42. Gen X, it gets down to 35% of that generation. And then we get down to millennials, it says 27%. And then even further down to Gen Z is 22%. So it drops from 47% believe in Jesus all the way down to 22%. According to statistics, you know, we can't hang our hat too much on statistics, but if statistics hold true, that's what the percentages are. And so we have some work to do, right, to help the next generation come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Now, I did hear something really positive a couple of weeks ago. I was in a minister's meeting, you know, in our area here, and one of the youth pastors spoke up, and he said that there's a revival, that stats are out there. There's a revival. I think it's 18 to 25-year-old young men. There's a revival happening right now in that demographic. They said on the flip side of the coin, the young ladies in that demographic are walking away from God in different ways, but the young men are starting to run after Jesus in a way we haven't seen a younger generation do in a long time. So I challenge you, let's keep praying for those 18 to 25-year-olds. It's somewhere around that demographic. That might not be the exact ages, but it's somewhere around there. And I want to say it was up to like 40% of young men believe in Jesus, and it's down to like, I don't know, 30 or 28 or something like that for young ladies in that demographic. So, man, there's some things to celebrate there, but the whole understanding there is that we need to pass down our faith to the next generation. Are we doing that as men and women of God? The future character of our children relies on what we instill in their hearts today. To ensure they embody these values, we must impart some things to them. So what do we pass on? Three things we're going to look at really quickly. First thing we pass on is our faith, right? Pretty simple. We need to pass on faith to the next generation. 2 Timothy 1:5. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt who? In grandma, right? And then your mother, and now dwells in you. So he sees the generational passing on of that sincere faith. And wouldn't that be beautiful? And I believe that it can work that way. Does it always work that way? Unfortunately not. Sometimes grandma can be sold out for God. Sometimes mom can be sold out for God. Yet sometimes that next generation does not follow after the things of God. I don't know why. I can't explain all those kinds of things, but it does happen. But I think the best way that we could pass on faith to the next generation is that we have faith, you know, ourselves, and make sure we're modeling what faith looks like in our home. Genetics. Ensure that we pass on certain traits to your children. How many are thankful for your genetic traits you passed on to your kids? No hands. Wow, we got to preach on self-esteem or something in this house, right? No one likes your genetics. Right? Maybe it's your brown eyes you passed on to your kid. Right? Maybe it's your awkward nose, right, that you passed on to your kid. Right? I don't know what it is that you're thankful or not thankful. Tell your friend next to you, if you have kids, tell them the thing that you wish you did not pass on to your kids. Tell them real quick right now. I hear some whispering. I don't hear anything. We pass on a lot of things. A lot of attributes of our heredity. Yep, that word. Don't laugh at me. You get up here and preach. In contrast, faith is not inherited. Unfortunately, that's one of the most important things of life. It can't be inherited, can it? I wish it could. I wish that we could just, man, we're just going to pass it on. We're followers of Jesus. Man, our kids are going to be followers of Jesus just because we are followers of Jesus. I wish that we could pass on our faith just like that. It just became natural, just like our awkward nose that we might have, right? You know, I wish it were that easy to pass on faith, but it doesn't guarantee that your children will be followers of Jesus. Although Lois and Eunice were faithful believers, Timothy had to reach a moment where he embraced faith. faith in Christ for himself. Belief isn't inherited, it's acquired. However, when mothers exemplify true faith, they create an environment that encourages children to aspire to that same faith. And it's wonderful that our faith will impact those that are around us. If we are fully devoted followers of Jesus, if we are sincere in our faith, then we're creating an environment that we can pass on that faith to the next generation. I think the key word here is sincere. Paul saw in these two women a sincere faith that had been passed on. It wasn't just faith. He said your sincere faith that was passed on to you from your grandma and from your mom, right? We need to have sincerity in our walk with God. Moms, dads, all those that call this church home, we need to pass on sincere faith to the next generation. That's a non-hypocritical type of faith. We can't say we love Jesus and then go and behave like the world or talk like the world the rest of the week. We need to have purity and we need to have integrity. And our God is holy, so we should be holy. That's what God's word teaches us. So I challenge you, if you're going to pass on sincere faith, then you need to have sincere faith in your life. I'm thankful for a mom and dad that had sincere faith in their love for God that they were able to pass on to the next generation. And that's what we need to do in our lives. And so I challenge you, don't be hypocritical as you walk through your house and in your life. Make sure you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here today and you say, I'm not a follower of Jesus at all. Well, now's the time to get on board. Give your life to Jesus. Make him your Lord and your master. And then as you start following after Jesus, start chasing after him, then guess what? You can say like Paul said to those around him, follow me as I follow Christ. And so I challenge you to pass on that sincere faith. In order to pass it on, you must have sincere faith in your life. Moms, dads, strive to be more than just a churchgoer. Become Christ followers. When you stumble, seek forgiveness from God and from your children. Next, pass on a love for God's word. Pass on a love for God's word. If your kids are at home with you, I hope they see you and experience you opening God's word with them. I talked to Pastor Edgar a few times since I've been here about this topic, and he says, you know, that it breaks his heart when he does talk to our kids and they say, you know, how much have you read the Bible with mom and dad at home? And kids say, I've never read the Bible with mom and dad at home. That should break our heart. Right? We need to make sure that we're passing on a love for God's word. Grandma and Ma shared a faith for the gift of salvation and imparted the scripture. 2 Timothy, if you flip there, 2 Timothy chapter 3, going over to chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, it says this. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Right from childhood, he had been learning about God's word. He'd been learning about the sacred writings. He's been learning. He's been in Bible school ever since he was born, right, is what we read here. Verse 16, one of our favorite verses in Scripture, talking about Scripture itself. I love when the Bible talks about the Bible and what the Bible is. Well, here it is. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. In order to equip our kids in our lives, we need to pass on a love for God's word. And so moms and dads, I challenge you like never before, open God's word with your kids. Read with them the Bible. Start memorizing Scripture as a family. Start putting Scripture around your house that, you know, we can start grabbing a hold of those verses when our kids are going through difficult moments in their lives. They can even now start grabbing on to God's word and saying, man, God's word is so powerful because God's word changes and transforms hearts. The term here, childhood, refers to infant or toddler. So Lois and Eunice have been teaching God's word ever since Timothy was a young child. Man, what a cool house that would have been to be raised in as a man of faith. You know, that man, they were in Bible school every day. They were like, we're teaching you God's word. Guess what? If you aren't sure about this, you know, the teachers at school are not the number one teachers of your kid's life. They're important. I'm not discounting their importance. But they are going to instruct your kids for a couple hours a day. How much are you instructing your kids at home? You want your kids to grow? You need to start taking discipline in that and saying, I'm going to teach my kids God's word. And that's going to take some dedication on your part. Maybe in some sacrifice. Man, I won't go there. These random thoughts pop up in my mind, and I'm like, man, I'm going to go down that road, but I'm not going to chase that rabbit today. Mothers, nothing influences your child more than the truth of God's word. Nothing influences your life or your kid's life more than God's word. Thank you. That's a great spot. I repeated it again. Try to get you to say amen to that one. That's a good one. Right? Nothing influences your life more than the word of God. It should be the number one influence on your life as a man or woman of God, and it should be the number one influence on your kid's life as a man or woman or child of God. We need to make sure we're teaching them God's word. You can flip to Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9. It says this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your might. And these words that I have commanded you today, you shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your door, and they shall be as fontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Right? This is what you should put. This is so important that he's writing here and saying, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your might, is what it says right there. And so that's what we need to be teaching our kids in the next generation in our lives. And guess what? Little side note, our church is right there to help you to do it. Get your kids out of bed a little earlier on Sunday morning. Maybe I should change that. Get yourself out of bed just a little earlier on Sunday morning. And guess what? Every Sunday morning at 9:30, we have life classes for kids all the way through adults. You can come and learn too. And guess what? We also have more. There's more. I feel like a bad salesman. Wednesday at 7 o'clock, come to life classes. We have kids ministry going on. I don't know. They're doing some science club. That sounds kind of fun to go to, you know, for the kids. And then youth ministry's happening. And we have adult Bible study and things going on Wednesday night. I challenge you to create an opportunity to allow the church to walk alongside of you to teach our kids. A generation ago, it was part of being a mature follower of Jesus Christ. If the doors are open, I'm bringing my kids to church so they can learn more about Jesus and I can learn more about Jesus, right? You know, that needs to be part of our DNA as men and women of God. Let's get them here as much as we possibly can. Will it take sacrifice and work? Yes, but it's worth it. I'm going to get on a soapbox here for a minute. I would much rather my kid be a follower of Jesus Christ and learn more about God's word than see him out on a soccer field somewhere. Amen. Fill in the blank with whatever soccer field might be out there in your life. Make a priority about being in the house of God. I was raised that way. I was on sports teams too, and guess what happened on Wednesday night? I went to church. I didn't go to practice. I said, Coach, I'm going to church because mom and dad said I have to go to church. Did it maybe make it where I wasn't a starter? Who cares? I still had fun out there on the soccer field on the days I could go. I would much rather my kid have a love for the house of God and for God's word than dribble a ball down the court. I just challenge you in our thinking, because sports have become and extracurriculars have become all-encompassing in our culture. And we need to be very careful with what we're saying yes to and what we're saying no to as a result. I know I'm a pastor, but man, I'd rather see my kids falling in love with Jesus and opening up God's word. That's the most important thing, because that's what's going to stick with them the rest of their lives. They're not going to be a soccer player for the rest of their lives. In fact, the percentages of kids that end up in major league sports is like less than 0.2%. I think it's way down there. I don't know what the percent is. You can Google it. I'm sure Google will tell you it's smarter than I am sometimes. Not always. Because Google, never mind. I'm off the soapbox. Everyone says amen. Pass on a servant's heart, last thing. Real quick, we're going to get ready to close in just a minute. Pass on salvation. Pass on a love for God's word. And pass on a servant's heart. Life is not all about you. And life is not all about your kids. Pass on a servant's heart. Acts 16:1-3. Paul came also to Derbe and Lystra. The disciple was there named Timothy, a son of a Jewish woman who was a believer, but his father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brothers at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those places, for they knew that his father was a Greek. Timothy exemplified three character qualities undoubtedly inherited from his mother and grandmother. First, he was called a disciple. He wasn't just called a Christian or a Christ. He was called a disciple, right? Someone that's giving their life to follow after Jesus. That's what the disciples did. The first disciples of Jesus, they said, I'm going to give up everything to follow where you want me to go, Jesus. I'm going to follow you wherever you go. I'm going with you. That's what a disciple literally is, a follower of Jesus. Are we following him? He was called a disciple. He had a good reputation. He was well spoken of. And then he was available. Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him. And what did he do? He went with him. Right? That's what he did. I want you to recognize that Timothy eagerly joined Paul's ministry. He knew that Paul had faced stoning during his last visit in Lystra. So Paul, this preacher, walks into the town preaching about Jesus. He ends up getting stoned. He comes back later. There's this young man named Timothy that loves Jesus. And he's like, man, Timothy, you want me to follow you for a little while? Okay, I'll go with you and I'll go minister with you. How many of you would send your kid to go follow after Paul if Paul was just stoned last time he was in your city? You'd probably say, you stay away from that guy, hon. You know? But Timothy went with him. And I'm sure Lois and Eunice, they were probably like, I don't know if we're going to see Timothy again. We're sending him with this guy. And there's a lot of persecution happening because of his faith and his relationship with Jesus. And I don't know what's going to happen with Timothy here. But they said, you know what? You're going to go. I'm reading between the lines here. But allowed him to go in this moment of his life. Timothy had been raised to know that his life was not just his own, that God created him with a specific purpose. And he was proudly devoted to ministry. Moms, dads, there's going to be a time we need to let our kids go and do all that God is calling them to do. Right? And that's a challenge sometimes in our lives. Mothers, I cannot stress enough how vital it is for your children to witness your compassion for others. If we read between the lines, you know, he got that compassion from somewhere in his life. Moms, teach your kids the value of generosity. Teach your kids to be generous. Prepare a meal together for a family that might be in need. Get your kids involved in that. Bless others with money and then tell your kids about it. How we're going to sacrifice going to McDonald's after church today because I felt like God wanted us to give that $50 anymore to go to McDonald's. Give that $50 to so-and-so to bless them in their lives. Share your dinner table with people who need friendship and encouragement. There's a lot of people that need friendship and encouragement in this world. So share your dinner table with them in your life. Be generous with what God's blessed you with. Share your time and energy with a local church community. Be sharing your life with others. When you're sharing in life with your life with others, you instill in your child a deep desire to commit themselves to God. So I ask you today, what legacy are you leaving for your kids? What legacy are you leaving? How are you impacting the next generation? And so I'm asking that as a personal and a personal level with your children, but I'm asking you that on a corporate level right now as a church. How are you impacting the next generation to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ? Are you doing well? Are you doing your job? Are you fulfilling your mission that God has placed in our lives? Things that we share, one more time, we pass on salvation. Pass on salvation. Be a genuine man or woman of God and pass your salvation on as best you can to the next generation. Pass on a love for God's word. Be people that are students of God's word and open up God's word with people around you in your life. We need to open God's word together as a church family. And so I challenge you, you know, do that with the next generation here in our church. Open up the Bible and help them come to know Jesus and help share a love for Jesus Christ in and through your life. And make sure that you're also passing on a servant's heart by serving the people that God has placed in your life. What a beautiful thing. A couple lessons we could learn from just a few verses in Scripture today. Mom and grandma, and what they passed on to young Timothy, and what an influence they had on his life. And so I challenge you, you have an influence on people's lives. Are you using that influence for the glory of God? Are you doing what God has called you to do? And are you passing on your faith? Are you passing on a love for God's word? And are you passing on a servant's heart? Let's stand on up as we close this moment together in this special Mother's Day. Lord, I pray right now for all the mothers that are here. Lord, those mothers that are watching online, God, I just pray your blessing over them right now. God, I pray your encouragement over them. I know that sometimes Mother's Day, it comes with all sorts of emotions. And God, I pray right now for healing in our emotions with whatever we might be experiencing right now as we think about this day and what it means in our lives. And God, I pray right now, Lord, that you would just bring healing first in this place. God, I also pray right now that you would help all mothers, that you would encourage them and help them, Lord, to understand that you put them in a strategic position in their lives to help the next generation come to know you as their Lord and Savior. And God, I pray over this church right now that we will be serious about impacting the next generation with a love for you. And God, that we will pass down our faith. We will pass down a love for you. We will pass down a servant's heart, Lord, to the next generation as we serve them, as we love them, as we show your grace and your mercy to them. And God, I pray that you would just continue to mold us as a church into what you need us to be here in Parma, Ohio, God. We pray your blessing over this church, that you just continue to pour your favor out upon us. And Lord, help us to be faithful, help us to be men and women of integrity, and help us to be men and women that love your word. God, we love you so much and are so thankful for what you're doing in this house and what you're doing in our lives and what you're doing in our families right now. And God, I pray that you'd go with us with your strength and your power. In your name we pray. Amen. I love you guys. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Again, there's some little candy bars and things, so chocolate. I know every one of us love chocolate, so ladies, on your way out, you know, grab a chocolate bar from our Mally's Chocolate right here in Cleveland. But anyway, I hope you have a great Mother's Day. I love you guys. Hope to see you on Wednesday night. God bless.